Today I'm in the office of Jonathan Mills, who runs the Edinburgh International Festival. He has views across Edinburgh in one direction, the Firth of Forth in the other, and copies of programmes going back almost into infinity. Jonathan, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you very much. And I must say about the view, you can actually see something today, but there are many days when the weather is not good enough to see past the window pane. So it's fantastic that the weather in Edinburgh has turned, and I'm told the next few days are going to be brilliant sunshine or at least dry.
I'll rely on you for that. First question I'd like to ask you is, you've taken over from Brian McMaster this year.
No, not this year. I took over from Brian McMaster at the end of 2006, and last year was my first festival.
I apologise. What are your goals for the International Festival? You seem to be programming a lot more theatre now. Is that a deliberate intent, or is that just the way things have gone this year?
Well, it's a multi-art form festival. It's a performing arts festival, so I'm attempting to give equal weight to all of the art forms. And when I say equal weight, there's no quota particularly. It's not that I have to spend a quarter of my money on music and a quarter on dance and so forth. What that does mean, though, is that I do spend I do give as much attention and thought to each part of the program, and that may reflect itself in a greater amount of theatre. I don't know, but I'm not approaching this job as saying it's a music and opera festival with theatre and dance added on, or a theatre program with music added on. I'm trying to find a way of programming where all of these different art forms are integrated. And how I'm approaching that even more basically is, I don't even start with saying, what theatre am I going to do or what music am I going to do? I start with, what is the journey that the festival itself, in its broadest context, is going to take people on? What is the narrative of the festival that is over and above the narrative or the story of any particular component? And this year, we've been exploring the idea of the contributions that cultures that have just joined the European Union, cultures that have always been European, like Poland and Hungary, and are no less European today, but they are much more present in our minds because they are very much more part of the debates, discussions and ideas that are forging concepts of Europeanness, European identity, and a European sensibility into the future in a way that mightn't have been the case in the 80s or 90s. And I think it's a very exciting time to live in Europe. It's a challenging time, and it could be even when one thinks about Kosovo and Georgia, even potentially a troubling time. But it's certainly a time that is worth mentioning. It's certainly a time worth celebrating, and it's certainly a time worth focusing on in the programme of a festival like the Edinburgh International Festival.
You've also managed to get a mix by having overseas companies producing works by British playwrights.
I thought that was important because I thought, if you are going to present a lot of foreign language theatre, then some of it ought to be inspired by English language theatre to, in a sense, bring it home and give a point of reference, if you like, for British theatre itself. I think I hope it's worked in that way, as intended, but certainly the ambition behind presenting the Sarah Kane Psychosis, Sarah Kane's last play, 448 Psychosis, from the great theatre company in Warsaw, TR Warszawa, in a production by Grzegorz Jarzyna, which opens tonight at the King's Theatre, or Class Enemy from the East-West Theatre Centre in Sarajevo. Class Enemy is better known as a play by Nigel Williams, set in London, in South London, in the late 70s, translated to Sarajevo and into Bosnian. It has a completely different context, where a bunch of, in its original form, where a bunch of school children barricade themselves inside their classroom, in frustration at a failing system, Haris Pasevic, the director of this Bosnian production, translates and transposes this really edgy play into the Sarajevo of the mid to late 90s, where children were not allowed to go to school by their parents for fear of being shot by a sniper's bullet on the way to school, really focuses the mind in its extraordinary, visceral and edgy production.
What about Scottish work? Because it's been, certainly as long as I've been coming up to Edinburgh, which is a good long time now, it's been a tradition there's been at least one work by a Scotsman. This year you've got David Harrow's 365. Is that something you intend to continue with? Do you want to expand it?
There is no automatic right of entry into the festival. But that having been said, it's very inspiring to observe what's going on in the theatre scene in Scotland at the moment, not only the fantastic work that's coming out of the National Theatre, but also with Dominic Hill taking up the reins at the Traverse, to name but another. There's some really interesting projects that we can engage with into the future. 365 by David Harrower, to be directed by Vicky Featherstone, the artistic director, founding artistic director of the National Theatre of Scotland. I can't tell you a lot about it because it's a new commission and a new work for us. Next week will yield some of its secrets. What I can say is that it's focusing on that moment, that very fragile moment in the life of too many teenagers in the UK. Under current UK legislation, if you are a child in foster care who reaches the age of 16, you are no longer eligible to be in foster care, and you go into what is called a practice flat. So imagine you're from a broken family or you've lost your parents, you're 16. Imagine all of the problems that we have in society in the UK today, and you're not able to actually remain in the care of people who probably have looked after you and nurtured you and nourished you for, in some cases, 10, 12 years. And this is a critique of that system and a comment on that system and an attempt to get under the skin of what it's really like, a very intriguing approach and a very different kind of project from Blackbird or others that we have seen from David Harrower. I can't wait, and it's on at the Playhouse in the next few days. It starts next week.
For those who aren't able to be up in Edinburgh for that one, it's also going down to the Lyric in Hammersmith in, I think, opening in early September. That actually brings about an interesting question with regard to the overlap. Up to 5-6 years back, I suppose, maybe slightly more, the Edinburgh International Festival and the Fringe ran coterminously. And then someone decided to move them a week apart, which means that there's a week of the International Festival that doesn't overlap with the Fringe and vice versa. Is that something that might be a mission for you to try and bring the two back together?
Well, we're not going to change our dates, let's be very clear, because to do so would mean that the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, many dance companies that we have, would never, ever come to the Edinburgh Festival. We didn't change our dates. Mm. The Fringe did. I'm not going to go into past history. It's, as far as I'm concerned, a non-issue. And I don't think it's a problem for us in Edinburgh to have overlaps. And I don't think we need to absolutely be timed to the complete synchronicity of each other. We are independent organisations and we act accordingly.
If nothing else, at least it probably makes the accommodation slightly easier for people.
Certainly in the last week it does, although it has to be said some of our core audience don't need accommodation because they come from Edinburgh, and some of our core audience are not like the Fringe audience and they're looking at different kind of accommodation. Which is not to suggest that we don't benefit hugely from each other, because I think a lot of people come to Edinburgh knowing that there is such a diversity of offerings, whether it's the Fringe, the Tattoo, the Book Festival or the International Festival.
Not to mention the lovely city itself.
Not to mention the lovely city itself, indeed. But it's especially lively in August, and that's why people... I'm sure that a lot of people come here as a pilgrimage for the place and a pilgrimage for the festive antics that get spread around.
Jonathan Mills, thank you very much indeed.